Good morning and welcome each one in Jesus' name, the one who was involved in creating you and creating me and also each of our spouses. I'm enthused this morning because I don't know that any of you were forced to come here today, that somebody told you that you have to attend these marriage seminars. But I think everybody's here because they want to do a better job, and I like that because it's a choice and something that you, and I know sometimes us as men maybe sort of drag our feet. It's like, I got to go to another meeting like that, but it's good. I don't think you were forced. So this morning we are looking at personalities in the image of God and recognizing the intrinsic value of my spouse. And I'm not a person that likes a lot of big words. I can't hardly say that word intrinsic. And when Tony sent that to me, I was like, okay, so what does that mean? And I hardly recognize the word, except I'm a volunteer firefighter, and sometimes you see on pagers or radios it says that they are intrinsically safe. And it's like, well, is that the same thing as this? Because those devices are not supposed to cause explosions. It says that they're incapable of producing heat or a spark sufficient to ignite an explosive atmosphere. And so I was thinking about that, and I don't believe that's why what we're here to recognize the intrinsic value of my spouse, to know not to make, when to make them explode. I don't believe that's what this is meaning. But that's the first process that I was going through when I first saw that word and trying to figure out what that actually means. But it means to a perceived or calculated value of or measure of worth. So this morning, how much do you value your spouse? You are either a male or female. You are opposite physically and maybe opposite personalities, maybe opposite emotionally. But we are all created in the image of God, and there is value in that. And I'd like to turn to Genesis chapter 1 to get a little bit of a picture of what God saw when he was creating man. And making male and female. And in our confused world that we live in today, when people think that they can choose whether they are male or female, I think it's good for us to go back to Genesis and just get a picture of what God made and what God intended. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image," and he's talking about God as plural. Probably Jesus was there. We don't know what all that included in R, but "after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him." And I often wonder why God included that last little statement, male and female created he them. And I believe as our world gets more confused, I think I understand that a little bit better, because God distinctly created male and female. There's no halfway in between. There's no choosing one way or the other. We are created the way God created us. And we are, last evening we heard about how we are to be whole as individuals, but we are individuals, but we are to be married and become one. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 to 23. It talks a little bit about the process of God. Then I think if I understand the Bible right, Genesis 2 is a little bit more of a in-depth picture of Genesis chapter 1 in verse 27 when God created man. Then Genesis chapter 2 comes in and gives a little bit more detailed picture of that. Verse 18, the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. They were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed." God took woman out of man's side. And God said, "It is not good for man to be alone." I believe that you look at this picture of Adam with all the animals, and he had all these animals that passed, that God had passed in front of him. And I believe that was to establish in Adam's mind his need of somebody that was the same, that was bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh. And I like verse 23. Adam wakes up and he said, and I believe that Adam was excited. He said, "This is now bone of my bones." He found somebody that was the same emotionally, intellectually, but he found somebody that was the same as him, the same species. And sometimes people claim that women and men are not the same species. It's more of a joke, but we are the same species. It's not a question of that. And I think God did this for Adam so that there was no question. But Adam was excited. He had found someone, and it was very personal to Adam. It was part of his flesh. Do you cherish your spouse this morning? Are you excited that God gave you somebody to be your bone of your bones, flesh of your flesh? I'd like to look at some differences, and we're supposed to look at the value of our spouse, but I'd like to look at differences and then go on and what to do about that. So we are created as couples. We are created male and female. Men tend to be stronger physically, rougher built, not as refined, and not as beautiful. And we tend to be physically, we're taller. Women tend to be weaker physically, more refined, more beautiful, and shorter in stature. Men tend to be more assertive or more outgoing, not afraid to take risks. They tend to be a little bit higher self-esteem, more factual in the way they think, making decisions by facts, not by feelings. More steady emotionally. They tend to think about an issue and then talk about it. And they usually want to fix issues. That's how men work. We also do directions by directions. And we like to communicate casually side by side. That's how men work a little bit in a short rundown. Women tend to score higher on traits of anxiety. They tend to also score higher on sympathy and affection. and they make decisions by emotions or how it feels. They like to talk about an issue to reach a decision. They tend to be more intuitive or to have a feeling about something. They tend to do directions by sight. You go down this certain road and at this blue house you turn right. That's how women do directions. Maybe not by, like men tend to be more directions by take this road and at a certain road you turn right. Women like to communicate looking into your eyes and having deep conversations. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on our differences. I think each couple, you need to learn and understand what your differences are and figure out what that is and how to work with that. But I think it's more important, do you embrace your differences? I'd like to look at our spouse as our hands. And if you look at your left and right hand, you have, I believe everybody here has two hands, a left and a right. And I'm sorry if you don't. I have a sister that was born without her one hand. But if they're laid on a table, you have two hands, but they are opposite. And I believe to get a picture of how we as spouses should work together, think about your hands. You have your thumbs are opposite, your fingers taper down opposite. Your one hand tends to be more dominant. When you pick up something, you press on opposite sides. So your opposite things working together. And do your hands sit there and fight or bicker about what they're going, who's going to be in charge or who's going to be the more dominant one, or do you work together? I'd like each of you to take your hands and put them together like this. How much did you have to think about how your fingers and thumbs were going to fit together? We don't. It's a natural process. When you put your hands together, it is something that maybe as a child, I don't know when we developed that skill, but it is something that we naturally do pretty much the same every time. We're not sitting there trying to figure out which finger is going to be on top of the other one. So I think to learn to appreciate our spouses, we need to do like our hands. We each have a role to play. We each need to work together. But we each need to embrace our differences and our different strengths. Men, do you, when you are making decisions, do you ask your wife for input? We as men are to be leaders. But do we consider our wives with their more intuition, more having a feeling about a way a decision's made? We as men tend to make that decision less on feelings and more on facts, and the lady's thinking through that, and she says, I don't feel good about it. Well, do we stop and, even as leaders, do we stop and consider that? That is recognizing the value of your spouse. And wise is the man that stops and takes that into consideration. Helps to bring balance. Yes, we are whole individuals in ourselves, but we are different. And to bring a balance to your families, to bring a balance to your life, we need both spouses working together. Women, do you allow your husband to give his input on your decisions? Do you honor his leadership? Making decisions by what you know he wants you to do, not by whether he specifically said. And I believe the longer we're married, the more we understand what our spouse truly desires without us actually expressing that in words. Do you as women make decisions by that? I'd like to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. It talks about how our relationship, the way our marriages are, can affect whether our spouse becomes a Christian or not. 1 Peter 3, verse 1 to 7. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, that they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wise. And this conversation is the way we live out our lives, not by what we say. We often talk about conversation now as our discussion or two people having a conversation. This conversation is more the way you live out your life. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You as wives, if your husband was not a believer, would they be drawn to Christ because of the way you live? Think about that. That's a pretty serious task to live out, of the way we live, and us as husbands, the way we relate to our wives in our differences. Are they drawn to Christ? Verse 7 says, husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Study your wife's strength and weaknesses. Not her weaknesses to be critical, but to understand them and praise them for the good. Work together on your weaknesses. I did want to say when I started this morning that when I'm done, I would like to open it up for different things that you, the differences in your marriage that have been a blessing to you. So I want to do that when I'm finished here. But the goal in our marriage is to bring balance. As men, as we are more factual, not as emotional, women learn to appreciate that. And husbands, appreciate the tenderness and the delicate nature of your wife. Yesterday, the ladies were putting together the baskets or whatever that was in each of your rooms, and just watching the way women arrange things, the way they like beauty. And I'm sort of like, okay, whatever, you know, just get it done. But appreciate that, because we as men need that. We don't care about that enough. And not like we as men need to be that way more, but appreciate that you have a wife that likes to do that. And praise her for that, because that is the way God created women. In our marriage, my wife enjoys cleaning things up and organizing things, and I'm not too much of an organizer. And sometimes it could rub me the wrong way, but it's a good thing, and I do appreciate it. It's usually not a point of contention, but it's something that has been a blessing to us that she enjoys to organize. In communication, we are different. Women, give your wives, women, give your husbands time to process an issue before you force them to state their opinion. It's good for men to think about things. They like to think through things before they talk, typically. I mean, there's differences, but typically a man likes to process things in his mind before he discusses it. So women, allow your husbands time to think before you get them to talk. And men, think about it, but then talk. We tend to think about it and then go on to something else. That's a fault of men, that, yeah, we processed it, but we never talked about it. So take time to communicate that when you do. And you know what? Our spouse and us are not like we're made wrong. We're just different, and we're not different species. You are not made wrong. You do not process things in a wrong way, but neither does your spouse. We each process it the way we are made. You need your spouse's different way, and learn to understand that. If you always agree, one of you isn't needed. Our differences, we need to value, and realize that if we value our differences, that is actually our strength. It's not a weakness to be different. It's a strength to actually be different and understand that and work with that. Your spouse is made in the image of God, just like you are, and in the likeness of God. And I believe that you each had a choice of who you married, and something stood out to you when you were dating. Something impressed you about the person you married. Don't forget that. Something about their personality, something about the way they related to you. You keep that as something special. Continue to value that. And to understand that your spouse is a gem or a pearl, and God has given that to you. And we're not always totally refined, but I believe as two couples work to, as two individuals work together as a couple, that they will keep polishing each other and become more beautiful. It's interesting to watch older couples, and some of you probably think I'm getting in the older age, but I don't consider myself that yet. But to watch older couples I believe that they actually become more like each other, and I think that's a good thing. If we lived with somebody for 40, 50 years, we should become more like them. And yeah, we can't change our spouse, but I think that over time, we tend to think more alike and understand each other better. And that's a beautiful picture of learning to know our spouse and becoming more like them. Proverbs 31, verse 10 says, "Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies?" I believe that if you put that, "Who can find a virtuous spouse," to understand that our spouses are not something that we can even measure with the value of this world. It's way beyond money, way beyond things that God has given us, our spouses, to enjoy and for to understand each other, to understand us. God wants us to be able to and to value that. Sometimes you see marriages that they have not done that, and it's sad to see a picture of people that have lived together for many years and they do not appreciate their spouse. God doesn't want us to, excuse me, God doesn't want us to live together and just endure it. God wants us to enjoy each other and appreciate each other and value each other for who each one is. I'm going to open it up for something that has been maybe opposites in your marriage that has been a blessing. If you want to share that, I'm going to give you some little bit of time to share that. Yeah, something that has been a blessing of differences in your life, between you and your spouse, that has been a blessing in your marriage.
My wife loves to cook, does an excellent job. I don't. I eat anything. It's all good.
Yeah. Okay, somebody else, Meg?
So, I was pretty satisfied just being at home, just being. Wouldn't be for her, we would have never got started on these kind of events. Big blessing in our marriage, and got me out of my little box, not needing to talk to people, meet people. So, big blessing.
Go ahead.
Kind of alluded to it in the beginning there, and the differences between, you know, men and women a little bit. But we're in a stage of life where we're raising teenagers, and I'm kind of more just like, you know, black and white. This is truth, this is untruth. And, you know, then my wife comes in, hey, let's talk about this, you know. And so that's a beautiful picture of combining that. I really appreciate that.
Go ahead.
Because when we first got married, we were opposites, but yet after 30 years of marriage, it seems like we blended each other so much more than I think we were possible.
Go ahead. Tony, were you going to say something?
Because they already mentioned it, but my wife is organized. I tend to jump in both feet and figure it out as I go. With that organization, you know where you're going beforehand. It's been huge in our life.
I tend to be optimistic and visionary. talk about it, though, it comes to a much better decision together than what I would on my own.
That's right. Sounds fairly familiar. Anyone else?
Is it okay for women to talk?
Yeah.
Okay, I have to talk about him. If our family was run by me, I don't think we'd laugh very much because I'm such a worrier. And when he comes home from work, he teases the children and we laugh and we laugh. And it's just, it's really important in our family.
Yeah, and the different things that were shared to remember that a lot of times we view our differences as a friction point. Don't do that. It's so easy to do. But learn to back up and say, you know what? That is something I can learn from. That is something I can appreciate about my spouse. That's the value. If we always are always are bothered or always are on edge because of maybe a opposite or a difference in our spouse, we're not going to enjoy life or our marriage. But to step back and say, you know what, that's a good thing, and to appreciate that.